Hingabe. Donald, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down. Black or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth. President Trump, the most racist president we've had since we decided presidents probably shouldn't be racist. Trump had a week of responding to things in a non-ideal manner, from calling Saudi Arabia a spectacular ally just a day after the CIA implicated Mohammed bin Salman in a journalist killing, to touring the devastation following the California wildfires and having this exchange.
Does seeing this devastation, though, change your opinion at all on climate change, Mr. President?
No. I have a strong opinion. I want great climate. We're going to have that.
I want great climate. At this point, Trump just inserts whatever noun someone just said into his stock bull answers. What's your opinion on SpongeBob SquarePants, Mr. President? I want great SpongeBob, and we're going to have that. It's going to be the spongiest Bob, and we love it, don't we? The pants that are square, we love them. Was deeply affected by what happened in Paradise, California, whose residential areas were nearly 90% destroyed. And what he saw there in Paradise, California, is clearly something he will never forget.
You don't see what's going on until you come here. And what we saw at Pleasure, what a name right now. But when, what we just saw, we just left Pleasure.
Paradise.
For Paradise.
Pleasure, paradise, it's easy to get them mixed up. Just remember, Mr. President, pleasure is the dancer, paradise is where she works. Also refused to acknowledge that climate change might be causing these fires.
Does seeing this devastation, though, change your opinion at all on climate change, Mr. President?
No. I have a strong opinion. I want great climate.
You want learn grammar. I want new president. We'll be right back.
But perhaps Trump's weirdest unforced error this week was during a Medal of Freedom ceremony where, in honoring the late Antonin Scalia, he abandoned the prepared text at one point. See if you can spot where.
Joining us for this ceremony is his wife, Maureen, who's become a great friend of my family, myself, and their 9 children, Anne, Jean, John, Catherine, Mary Claire, Paul, Matthew, Christopher, and Meg. You were very busy. Wow. Wow. I always knew I liked him. What she did with her emails is so criminal, is so dishonest, is so shocking.
She was willing to risk our foreign enemies reading her emails. She lied like a dog on her emails. She lied like a dog.
So, tough words for his own daughter. I assume he'll do an interview sometime this month claiming he never met Ivanka, but heard she's nice.
President Trump's own daughter and senior advisor, Ivanka, is under fire for her use of private email to send official emails. And this, by the way, is from November 2nd. It's not even today's headline. This headline's from more than a year ago. Here's this week's headline. The Washington Post revealing that Ms. Trump used a private email address for hundreds of official emails last year. Now, this revelation comes after ethics watchdog group American Oversight sent a Freedom of Information Act request. The group wrote to the heads of both congressional oversight committees saying the American public insists that all public officials, including the president's daughter, comply with federal law. But Ivanka is not the only Trump administration official to use a private email address. At least 5 others, including her husband, Jared Kushner, who's also a senior advisor to the president, former chief of staff Reince Priebus, former chief strategist Steve Bannon, former economic advisor Gary Cohn, and current immigration hawk and advisor Stephen Miller. The president himself reportedly refuses to give up his personal iPhone despite warnings that his calls are not secure.
Hey, Tazzy, old devil. You sure toss a mean salad.
President Trump has been spinning in a Tasmanian devil-style rage this week as rumors of turmoil and tumult continue to swirl. Trump took to Twitter to lash out at special counsel Robert Mueller. At 7:14 a.m., the president packed, "The inner workings of the Mueller investigation are a total mess. They have found no collusion and have gone absolutely nuts. They are screaming and shouting at people, horribly threatening them to come up with the answers they want. They are a disgrace to our nation and don't, dot, dot, dot." And then he left us hanging for 18 minutes before delivering part 2. Care how many lives they ruin. These are angry people, including the highly conflicted Bob Mueller, who worked for Obama for 8 years. They won't even look at all of the bad acts and crimes on the other side. A total witch hunt like no other in American history. He always forgets we had real witch hunts in American history in which they killed witches, but this is the biggest witch hunt, and Bob Mueller is moving on you like a witch.
I guarantee you one thing. We're going to be talking about those emails every moment of every day.
Sometimes the jokes write themselves.
Mr. President, thank you for sitting down with me.
I think I'm doing a great job.
Well, you are sitting down, so yes. In that respect, you've nailed it. Now, you just appointed Matthew Whitaker as your acting attorney general.
He's a very smart person.
That is debatable, because he was on the board of a company which believes that Sasquatch is real. Do you believe Sasquatch exists?
It's true, 100%.
So would you appoint Bigfoot to your cabinet? Maybe have him replace John Kelly as your chief of staff?
Probably.
You know he's a mythical ape creature, right?
Let's see what happens. I have 3 or 4 or 5 positions that I'm thinking about. Of that, maybe it's going to end up being 2, maybe. But I need flexibility.
Trump's also getting criticized for his latest hire, Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker. We're learning some interesting stuff about Whitaker's past. For instance, his 2014 run for the GOP Senate nomination in Iowa. Now, he lost, but while campaigning, Here's what he said was criteria for his judges.
I'd like to see things like their worldview, what informs them, how have they lived their lives, are they people of faith, do they have a biblical view of justice, which I think is very important because we all know that our government...
Levitical or New Testament?
Huh? I'm a New Testament. and what I know is as long as they have that worldview, that they'll be a good judge.
In the opinion of the present Attorney General of the United States, if you're not a Christian, you won't be a good judge. But it's right there in the Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion, yada, yada, yada. What would Jesus do? Now, I want to warn our viewers that have allergies that this next headline is nuts. Because today, we learned that the acting Attorney General of these United States, Matthew Whitaker, is steeped in time travel and Bigfoot. Now, before we go any further, I just want to say that there's serious debate over whether Whitaker's appointment is unconstitutional and might obstruct justice. But tonight, Daddy don't give a damn. I want to talk about time traveling Bigfoot, man. Because here's the deal. Whitaker... This is true. Whitaker was a paid advisor and hot tub pitchman for a company called World Patent Marketing. Well, in 2013, Whitaker's company claimed to have DNA evidence proving that Bigfoot exists. He was on the paid advisory board of this company that was so all in on Bigfoot, they had a website selling Bigfoot paraphernalia and planned a celebrity event called You Have Been Squatched. But Whitaker wasn't just working for Bigfoot hucksters. They were also selling a time machine, which they said could be possible perhaps within the next decade, suggesting users might relive moments from your past or visit your future. Whitaker's company was shut down for defrauding investors out of $26 million. So, this has all been fun, right? Bigfoot, time travel, fraud. You can't ask for more. And yet, the Matt Whitaker giveth. Because I invite you now to join me in viewing the best product the new Attorney General of the United States ever helped sell the world, the extra deep masculine toilet for the well endowed. The idea behind this actual patent application, supported by, again, the Attorney General of the United States, is that well endowed men would dip a, let's say, toe in the water of a regular toilet. And here's the actual patent application drawing showing that on the manly throne, the distance between the rim and the water is at least 12 inches. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, this is great news for my penis. But does the Attorney General of the United States, Matt Whitaker, have anything for my testicles? Don't worry. World Patent Marketing also had a product called Snowballs, cooling underwear designed to maximize fertility by lowering the temperature of your testicles and help you optimize the production of natural testosterone.
Every day we learn more about the man personally installed by President Trump 2 weeks ago on constitutionally dubious grounds to run the Justice Department. And every day, the details that we are learning about Matthew Whitaker are more troubling, indeed, more obviously disqualifying. Here's the latest. After 2 weeks in which the Justice Department refused to hand over Whitaker's standard ethics financial disclosure, it was finally released late yesterday, and it appears it has been revised at least 5 times. One can only imagine what exactly was going on with those documents during those 2 weeks. And it's not a crazy question, given what we've also learned about a strange financial chapter in Whitaker's career, when he headed up a dark money nonprofit group that reported Whitaker as the sole employee, where he made $400,000 a year over 3 years. The salary came from a group called FACT, whose donor or donors, we do not know, are shrouded in secrecy. And while FACT claimed to be a new nonpartisan watchdog nonprofit, you can get an idea from Whitaker's TV appearances in his capacity as its leader what it was up to.
Let's all be honest here. You know, sort of, she had a server that she controlled. They reviewed all the emails now, I heard over the weekend. So what we'd really like to see is all of the emails.
We've got a pending FOIA request with the State Department regarding his emails and his interactions with the Clinton Foundation.
It sure looks like a nonprofit created to launder right-wing attacks through the name of a putatively independent new org. Now, this comes on top of the fact that his other recent activities included being a paid advisory board member of a patent company which allegedly scammed $26 million from its customers and is now being criminally investigated by the FBI. Of course, housed in the same Justice Department he now oversees.
Slip sliding away, slip sliding away.
The noose of Mr. Whitaker around their neck, so to speak, in that the president has sort of had a check. It's not a checkmate, but he's made a chess move on the board that puts him him personally in a lot of power with respect to Mr. Mueller. And I think all of this is of a piece. What happened with Chief Justice Roberts, what we're talking about with the media, what we're talking about with the Justice Department, and that is we are potentially slipping into a totalitarian state, an autocracy. The framers of the Constitution knew this was a possibility, which is why we have three branches of government. No one branch is the boss. There's no more kings. The other two branches need to check the other branch's papers. And as was mentioned, the Republicans have not done anything. So we have to hope that through the House and through potential whistleblowers and the criminal justice system and neutral judges and the voting public who need to step in and educate themselves about the implications here and not just be asleep at the wheel, because we're a 230-year-old democracy. There's no guarantee it's going to continue.
You know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
I began by telling the president that there was a cancer growing on the presidency, and if the cancer was not removed, the president himself would be killed by it. I also told him that it was important that this cancer be removed immediately because it was growing more deadly every day.
I know a man. He came from my hometown. He wore his passion for his woman like a thorny crown.
Just look at what is now being exposed in our Department of Justice and the FBI. Look at what's going on. There's a lingering stench, and we're going to get rid of that, too.
We went out on the street, we told people about Trump's plan to give the Statue of Liberty back. You know, France gave us Statue of Liberty in 1886 as a symbol of friendship. So how would Americans feel about our president sending her back?
We're out here asking people what they thought about Trump's announcements to the French this week that he wants to give back the Statue of Liberty because he doesn't like the message it sends about tired and poor immigrants.
I think that's, and I voted for Trump. I think that's a pretty low statement on his part.
Trump made the announcement to the French this week that he wants to have them take the Statue of Liberty back because he doesn't like the message it sends about giving your tired and poor immigrants. How do you feel about that?
Whatever he says, I think it's great.
Absolutely, I think it's a good idea.
It would take forever to take it back to France. I mean, seeing how big it is. So I don't see the point investing in pointless transfer.
He said that green is hands down the most unflattering color on big women.
Green.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think green is a weird color, so I don't know. I don't know how I feel about what you said.
Well, it would save the American taxpayers $1.2 million to retrofit the pipes in the White House if we melted down the Statue of Liberty for the copper. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that part, I'm not really so sure. If he's going to do it, then if it saves money, that'll be good.
My love for you is so overpowering, I'm afraid that I will disappear. Slip sliding away, slip sliding away. You know, the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
Secretary Mike Pompeo of the State Department talking about the president's and the administration's statement that was released this afternoon in reaction to the killing of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The headline of that statement was that the U.S. stands with Saudi Arabia despite allegations that the Saudi crown prince orchestrated the killing. You might remember we reported this yesterday, NBC News actually broke this on Sunday, that the CIA's assessment, their conclusion was that Mohammed bin Salman was behind the killing of Khashoggi.
It's all about, for me, very simple. It's America first. Saudi Arabia, if we broke with them, I think your oil prices would go through the roof. I've kept them down. They've helped me keep them down. It's a very simple equation for me. I'm about make America great again, and I'm about America first.
President Trump yesterday explaining why he is standing by Saudi Arabia, despite the CIA reportedly concluding with high confidence that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman ordered the killing of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. In a tweet this morning, Trump echoed that sentiment and went a step further, writing, quote, oil prices getting lower, great, like a big tax cut for America and the world. Enjoy. Thank you to Saudi Arabia, but let's go lower. In a statement yesterday, Trump dismissed the Saudi government's alleged role in Khashoggi's killing, saying, quote, it could very well be that the Crown Prince had knowledge of this tragic event. Maybe he did and maybe he didn't. But several of Trump's Republican colleagues on Capitol Hill slammed his defense of the Saudi regime.
I am astounded at the type of response that was put out by the White House. We have a Crown Prince that I believe directed the killing of a journalist. And the language that was used, it was as if they were writing a press release for the Saudi Arabia, not for the United States. And it was unnecessarily provocative in the way that he did it.
Here's what I believe. Saudi Arabia needs us more than we need them. It's not too much to ask an ally not to butcher a guy in a consulate. This is not World War II, so I'm not going to look away at what MBS did.
Slip sliding away. Slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
He said publicly he would put Clinton in jail if elected. He wanted to use the apparatus of the state, the Justice Department, to stop his enemies. But does the fact that he was stopped matter? Does it essentially absolve him from any possible liability here?
Well, the question is, do we live in Venezuela or do we live in the United States of America? This is the behavior of people who don't believe in the rule of law. And the most interesting fact from the New York Times piece was that Don McGahn had said that the president had the authority to engage in an investigation, right? So remember, let's separate investigation versus prosecution. The president had the authority maybe to open up or ask for an investigation, but it would have been a staggering exercise in poor judgment to do so. Just because you have the authority to do something doesn't mean that you ought to do it. And it would have been an egregious violation of the rule of law for the president to start opening investigations of his personal opponents or his political opponents and so on. And so this is, you know, this transcends politics and sort of the normal, you know, Democrat versus Republican bickering about what's the latest thing Donald Trump has done today. And this strikes at the core of what law enforcement is and how it's used in the United States of America. This is the president attempting to use the prosecution or investigative apparatus of the country as his personal hit squad.
In a rare statement, Chief Justice John Roberts from the Supreme Court today issued a stunning rebuke of the president for challenging the integrity of a federal judge. Began yesterday when the president questioned the independence of the judiciary, saying that a ruling against his asylum policy in the Ninth Circuit was due to, quote, an Obama judge. Here's Trump.
Your asylum policy has been put on hold.
Well, you go to the Ninth Circuit and it's a disgrace, and I'm going to put in a major complaint because you cannot win, if you're us, a case in the Ninth Circuit. This was an Obama judge. And I'll tell you what, it's not going to happen like this anymore.
Chief Justice John Roberts then took the unusual step of correcting the president, saying in a statement, we do not have Obama judges or Trump judges, Bush judges or Clinton judges. What we have is an extraordinary group of dedicated judges doing their level best to do equal right to those appearing before them. That independent judiciary is something we should be all be thankful for. According to NBC News, quote, it's the first time the Republican-appointed leader of the federal judiciary has offered even a hint of criticism of Trump. Late today, the president responded to the Chief Justice saying, quote, sorry, Chief Justice John Roberts, but you do indeed have Obama judges, and they have a much different point of view than the people who are charged with the safety of our country, adding that, quote, we need protection and security. These rulings are making our country unsafe, very dangerous, and unwise.
I have brought peace, freedom, justice, and security to my new empire.
Your new empire?
His slip sliding away. You know the nearer your destination, the more you slip sliding away.
The only force in American society right now that hasn't taken on Trump full bore is the GOP.
Well, I think it's important to also look at what's happened today and what we're now not talking about. And that President Donald Trump picked a fight with the Ninth Circuit because he was facing some really bad headlines today. There was a lot of talk about how he was handling Saudi Arabia after basically saying it's okay if you kill a Washington Post journalist, we'll still stand behind you. Another story came out that he was going after his political rivals. The talk of impeachment was up. We are still not sure what's going on, what the testimony was with McGahn. There's a lot of things coming out there. So what does Donald Trump do? He picks a fight with the Ninth Circuit, and he uses that as a way of deflection. And it's almost like he welcomed Justice Roberts coming out, because now he's having a whole nother conversation, and this is what we're talking about.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.